Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Hi, I'm Alex Ritson, and on the Global News podcast, we are following efforts to form a coalition in South Africa as Parliament sits for the first time since elections which damaged the ANC. We bring you the top stories from BBC News twice a day on weekdays and daily at weekends. Search for the Global News podcast wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
For the BBC World Service, this is Losing Attar.
My name is Raju, and I have been farming flowers for the past 13 years. Before that, I used to work somewhere else. But after the demise of my father, I took over farming.
What do you harvest?
Vela, mehndi.
Jasmine, henna, rose. I also have a rose nursery.
Raju's family have lived in the northern Indian city of Kannauj for many generations. Situated by the banks of the Ganges, it is an ideal location to grow flowers, and Raju learned how to farm roses, jasmine and marigold from his father. Like generations before him, once the flowers have grown and been plucked, Raju sells them to the local perfume makers, who turn them into different types of essential oil known as attar. Attar has been an integral part of life in Kannauj for centuries. It is sometimes said that even the city's alleyways and sewers smell of distinctive fragrances. But for farmers like Raju, it is a way of life that is under threat. Rising temperatures and unpredictable seasons are making harvesting the flowers needed to make attar harder than ever.
There has been a lot of loss due to early rainfall. Rain in March is not good. It destroys the leaves of plants and ruins everything.
My name is Jigyasa Mishra. I am a journalist who discovered how Kannauj was losing attar after the COVID-19 pandemic. It was the time when the farmers and small-scale perfumers, and retailers especially, were facing the brunt of a national lockdown, resulting into the downfall of attar market. I've been reporting from Kannauj to hear more about why traditional attar cultivation may become a thing of the past, and talking to people fighting to keep it alive.
The old city is Kannauj.
This is the old city area of Kannauj. In this market, there are 29 attar or perfume manufacturers and 40,000 manufacturers in our regular contact. Big or small, you will find a distillery in almost every household.
Rishi Malhotra is a 9th generation perfumer.
I started sitting at the shop from the age of 10 with my father. I used to look after the shop with my father in his old age.
Attars can be found in South Asia, the Middle East and Africa. But what makes the attars of Kannauj particularly special is their traditional way of manufacturing it. I visited a couple of distilleries to understand the process of attar creation. And it was the same traditional method everywhere. The process begins with a deg, which is a copper vessel filled with fresh water and the main ingredient, which could be a clay pot or a flower. Then the lid of the deg was sealed to ensure no steam leaks. Next, a bamboo reed called a chonga connects the deg to the bhapka, another copper vessel containing the oil, which forms the base of the attar. The deeg is then heated over wooden fire or cow dung. As the contents of the deeg begin to simmer, the essential oils in the flours vaporize and travel as steam through the chonga to the bhapka. The vapor is distilled and absorbed by the oil, creating the sweet-smelling attar. After extraction and collection, the attar is aged for about 3 months to further enrich its quality. It is the same process that's been used for millennia.
The apparatus itself, this deeg and bhapka apparatus, which is a very basic hydrodistillation, dates to about 5,000 years ago.
Devrina Dingra is a journalist and author of The Perfume Project, Journeys Through Traditional Indian Fragrance. She told me how far ancient civilizations would go to transport attar.
One of the really amazing things I found is how there are these ancient trade routes that predate the Silk Route. The Silk Route is an overland route for trade, and it's really famous. There's been so many books written about it. But much before that, there was the maritime routes. There was so much trade between the subcontinent and Egypt and the Middle East such a long time ago. But they were trading in things that we still trade in now. They had such an appreciation because those to take that route and the way you had to do it was so much more difficult. Yeah, to transport just these things that are beautiful.
Attar's deep and rich history means it's easy to think of it as a romantic relic of the past, but it's still an essential part of the local economy.
When you actually go to these places, one of the important things you learn is it's also a very difficult profession to be in. The production of this perfume is not easy. I feel it's very easy when you speak about a product like this to romanticize it a lot and to some extent exoticize it. And that, of course, it's easy to do with a product like this. It's so beautiful. There's all these, you know, practices associated with it and kings and courts and stories and things like that. But it would be nice if reporting also began to recognize that this is an industry that is extremely labor intensive.
Rishi Malhotra is well acquainted with the production of attar. From the collection of flowers to distillation, packaging and exports of the products, he is involved throughout.
Kannauj is entirely dependent on flowers and herbal spices. From flowers, we make attars.
Rishi tells me it's not just flowers that can be turned into attar, but other aromatics too, including one that is particularly distinctive to Kannauj, petrichor, or the smell of rain.
Mitti or soil perfume is made right before the monsoon. There is an art behind it. The soil perfume is made only in Kannauj city. We collect broken pots, then we distill these pieces every day in the copper vessel, which takes 3 months to be processed. That's how we are able to collect the fresh smell of rain on the soil, popularly called mitti, which is the first smell of the rain.
As I stand inside Rishi's shop, he is showing me a small leather container filled with sandal attar, one of hundreds on the shelf, packed in glass bottles. All of these are distinct from each other and yet have a very unique scent. The entire shop itself feels like an olfactory treat.
After 3 months of processing the perfumes, the collection is stored in these camel leather bottles. This helps increase the quality and durability of perfumes like this one. In the past, even the export was done in these camel leather bottles.
Once prepared and packed, attar is exported from Kannauj not just around India, but all over the world.
So it comes in a like silver kind of vessel that's very airtight and packed.
This is the Brooklyn-based perfumer and author, Tanais, who regularly uses attar from Kannauj in their fragrances.
And for me, the most exciting part of any parcel, I just received a package of mitti attar, a jasmine attar, and this plant called kyura, which is pandanus screw pine. And I open each one and just have this deep inhalation of gratitude that this material has come to me in this form, and immediately like ideas start going off.
Tanais first started their beauty label Studio Tanais in 2014.
So I have a WhatsApp relationship with Kanauj. Like, I'm on WhatsApp at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., you know, New York time, talking to these people who are helping me make my dreams a reality.
As someone of Bangladeshi heritage, using attar is a way of connecting to their homeland.
So the perfume that has the most kind of precious attar in it, I would say, is mati. And mati means earth or dirt or clay. And this is clay from the Ganges River steeped in sandalwood. And what it smells like is immediately evocative of monsoon rain and clay and motherland. So this is like a motherland scent for me as a diasporic person.
And it's not just the connection to the region that makes the attar special to use, but the fact that it adds something to the scent that a synthetic ingredient just can't.
I'm a mixed media perfumer. I use naturals and synthetics. The synthetic does what it does. It's you know, it's got a function in the perfume to accentuate, to highlight, to add iridescence, what, you know, however you would describe what that synthetic is doing in your perfume. But an attar has a constancy, a quality that is marked by difference by the batch that you get from the season that it's being harvested. Those are the things that make it change. That's what makes it so interesting to work with. A synthetic, it has a formula and it is what it is, and you can rely on it to be that thing. So I would say the biggest difference is just the ephemeral nature of it, and the way that it truly is nature representing a moment in time, a season. And you're using that season, and no batch will ever be the same.
But it is exactly this quality in attar, the fact that it changes with the seasons, that is threatening its existence. Back in Kannauj, Raju took me to his rose nursery, which is his main business besides his farming. At 8 in the morning, I follow Raju through the narrow, muddy lanes, escaping the rose thorns to his nursery. This year, the nursery has been destroyed by the heat. He compared the produce he gets today to what he would get decades ago when he began.
Roses don't just stop blooming, their quantity reduces. Currently, the produce I get is almost 20 kilograms, which after 3 months reduces to 3 to 4 kgs. A month from now, we will start getting jasmine flowers. We will also get henna flowers, which has a compound used in the tobacco industry. There has been a lot of loss due to early rainfall. Rain in March is not good. It destroys the leaves of plants and ruins everything. This is my rose nursery. See, this sampling looks fine. It might survive. But this one is gone because of the rain and pests. This one is dead. Only 20% out of this will survive. The rest, 80%, will die.
Is that all because of the rain?
Because the rains and also termites that are now frequently present in the soil, they eat the plants.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service. I am Jigyasa Mishra and this is Losing Attar. Payal is a flower plucker. Every morning she spends 3 hours in the farm collecting roses. She usually comes with her mother.
I was young. At least 12 or 13 years old when I started plucking flowers. I come here with my mother. She's not here currently on this field. Today I'm plucking rose flowers. At the moment, it is roses, but later it will be jasmine. I come here by 7 in the morning on my bicycle. My house is not very far, so sometimes I walk. I pluck flowers till 11 a.m. I pluck almost 20 to 25 kilograms of flowers in a day.
You have been picking flowers for almost 10 years. There must have been some change. Do you remember 10 years ago?
Yes. Earlier there were lots of flowers, which meant work could be done quickly.
Payal shares that now the number of flowers have reduced, which is why she has to spend more amount of time looking for them in the bushes.
It's because of the weather. It is hotter and sunnier in March now than it was 10 years ago. Now, the flowers have started to bloom early.
So what we are witnessing these days, there is a definite connection of climate with the rate of production of flowers.
Professor Venkatesh is a professor of environmental sciences at Baba Sahab Bhimrao Ambedkar Central University in Lucknow.
We are also witnessing that the intensity of cold or heat waves or even rainfall, that is becoming quite unpredictable. So there is more probability of damage during the flowering stage. You know, like if you're doing floriculture and suddenly there is huge storm. So just like any other crop, it will affect your production. So that is happening on a quite bigger scale. Last, if you see, 2 decades, the rate of change of such extreme events are becoming more visible.
The effect this extreme weather has on the crops is many and various.
More heat and sometimes extended rain or extra moisture, that is causing the breeding of some of the pathogens and insect pests. And even some new pests are reported. So there is an altered resistance to even the existing pathogens or existing diseases.
And on the flowers themselves, the damage is devastating.
So, and we are also witnessing petal loss. You have loss of color and loss of even the aroma. Like we don't get same sort of aroma that we used to get before. That has been affected. So there's a tendency to replace those natural aromatic plants with some chemical, you know, compounds, which is not good.
The unpredictable weather not only damages the flowers, but it changes when they bloom. If farmers can't predict that, then they can't organize when to have them picked, when to sell them to the buyers. It throws the whole system out.
Their production has been affected a lot, especially like rose or other winter flowers. Farmers are telling that they are getting early flower. So they are not able to match with the requirement of the customers.
What farmers like Raju are experiencing in Kannauj is a story that is sadly familiar all over the world. But there is another issue specific to India that put attar makers on the back foot even before the effects of climate change started to be felt as acutely as they are today.
I think also unregulated practices that kicked in much before climate change came and made things even harder.
Devrina Dhingra again.
Policies in the country regarding things like sandalwood, which was, I think, our most prized ingredient. Mysore sandalwood really has this sort of mythical, iconic status. Then you had these forests which have been completely decimated.
Traditionally, sandalwood oil has been used as the base in attar that other aromatics like rose and jasmine are added to. The intense, warm and woody smell of the tree's oil made it highly sought after. And from the British colonial period onwards, the state held a strict monopoly over its growth and harvesting. The hope was to prevent the tree from being overexploited, but it simply made it a bigger target for poachers.
There's the story of Veerappan. He was a really well-known poacher. And in the 90s, you read about him in the papers really often because he, I think, was responsible single-handedly. I mean, of course, he had a gang and everything, but the police just could never catch him. And he managed to poach something like 10,000 tons of sandalwood, prime sandalwood, in South India. They launched this massive manhunt after he kidnapped a very famous actor, very famous South Indian actor. That was the final straw, I think, for everyone. It's like, no, not the actor. So, and then they finally nabbed him and he was shot.
In an attempt to stop the tree's rapidly declining population, in 2001, the government removed restrictions on the growing of sandalwood on private land. And it's been open to the public to grow ever since.
Things are changing. But the fact remains that sandalwood is a very slow-growing tree. And the real value of the oil comes from a tree that is 15 to 20 years old. So if you started even 10 years ago to recognize the problem and take steps to solve it, you're still, even now, a decade out from when you might be able to reap some of those results.
But there are still local businesses helping grow the attar industry.
I think that when you go to Kannauj now, there are now a number of producers. What they want to do is take this very traditional product out into the world as it is. But one thing to know also is that the entire sort of model for attar changed, as in the primary buyer for this product is the tobacco industry. Mm. It was a B2B model, not going to consumers. And that is slowly changing. There are now families, distillers who want to change that.
Boon Fragrances is one of a number of new perfumeries that have opened in recent years. It started in May 2021 when a brother-sister duo, Kruti and Varun Tandon, came back to their hometown of Kannauj for the pandemic and saw how local attar producers were struggling. Praveen Tandon is the company's director of operations and the pair's father.
When COVID came in 2020, my daughter Kruti and my son Varun both came home. They were stuck here without any clue of what would happen or when they might leave. And they started to see the condition of attar market in the city. In March of that year, the roses were blooming, but they couldn't be picked because there was nowhere for them to go. Who would make attar out of it? Farmers and pickers used to come from village to make perfume, but now they were not even allowed to leave their homes. And then, even if it was made, where could it be sold? All the markets were closed. Everything was uncertain. The industry was completely shut down because of the pandemic. But at the same time, there was still a consumer demand for products made from natural ingredients like attar. So Kruti and Varun decided to do something. We thought, if we were fortunate and we have the skills to do it, then why not?
Boon Fragrances uses the same millennia-old method of producing attar using the Deg Bhapka distillation. Praveen ensures that every bottle of attar is accompanied by a handwritten poem written by the local women and girls of the nearby villages. He shows me some.
This is our box. There is an envelope in it. Now when you open the envelope, there is a poem which is handwritten.
The samples of attars Praveen shows me are floral, fruity, very feminine and not very strong.
Try this. Put it on you. Now rub it.
I really like them. You can tell Praveen is a businessman. The opening of new businesses like Boon isn't just a one-off example. It reflects a significant trend in the growth. The market research firm Technavio found that the Indian perfumery industry is set to expand by 15% year on year for the next 3 years. For Divrina Dhingra, this is one reason to be hopeful about the future of attar.
So, I mean, I find it very interesting because there's between the time that I started doing the research on this book and the time that the book has come out, there's so much more interest in this industry. There is this fate of these new brands like Boon. And so the hope is that with with interest in it, there'll be also more policies made, there'll be more demand, and it can revive.
But I wondered if these brands had started to see the impact of the climate crisis on their production lines. I asked Praveen.
In the past, a lot of the riverbank in Kannauj used to be wetland, and it was more fertile due to moisture. Also, the fact that people don't use as much organic manure has resulted in poorer production of the flowers.
Despite this, Praveen says, the impact on the business has been minimal because Boond are able to pay higher prices to get the aromatics they need from other growers. As Rishi Malhotra told me, this is why farmers, not distributors, are the most at risk to changes in the environment.
Climate change definitely causes loss and the farmer suffers the most. For the rest of us, we just need a collection of flowers to continue our own process. The price of flowers goes up and down and the buyer automatically has to adapt to it. Then, if the rates of flowers have become high, you are forced to put less of it in the product.
And over the course of India's recent general election, perfumers in Kannauj asked the government to do more to protect this ancient profession. We did try to get in touch with local politicians to hear their side, but they did not agree to an interview.
And I think, like, even believing that these materials will be there for us.
New York-based perfumer denies again.
Because it is a process of extraction to use them at all. I'm aware of it constantly. Like, this might not be available to me in 5, 10, 20, 15 years. You know, I don't know. Like, that's something I think about. But I think people of conscience, people who really care about where their food comes from, where their clothes come from, they are thinking about these things.
When I asked Raju what his plans were for the future, he explained to me that many other members of his family had already given up on this generation-old profession. And now he was also considering it.
Changing professions doesn't seem like an option for me or any farmers. Because they know only farming. They cannot do anything else. They can't leave the town. But we are thinking of going out and doing something else. One of my younger brothers lives in Delhi with his wife. And he has two children who also live there. They're not farmers. They have jobs at an insurance company.
As Raju knows, the future of Attar is dependent on protecting it at its source. That was Losing Attar. It was produced by me, Jigyasa Mishra, and Artemis Irwin. It was a Whistledown production for the BBC World Service.